My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Bless you, Brother Welch.
The power of God, this choir just anointed. This is what the world is so hungry for. This is what they are thirsty for. And if you are here today and you are a visitor, this is not your home church and you don't have a home church, this is where you need to be. If I lived within about a 100-mile radius, this is where I would be with my family, and I would be dragging every friend, every coworker, anybody who I could get to the house of the Lord to share this power, this Holy Ghost fire with. I do so appreciate the privilege God has afforded my family to be here this weekend with you all. There's really no other place that we can think of and greater people we would rather be with. The Welch family, Sister Joanne, yesterday we spoke with her, was so kind. And then just the legacy of this church, what it means to the apostolic movement. And history is rich, but the truth is still marching on because of you, because of you. And so I commend each one who is here. I honor the legacy and the faithfulness of every saint of God who has invested one prayer, $1, anything, because this church is making a difference around the world, as Brother Strobel mentioned this morning. I just want to come and silence the enemy before my husband preaches in prayer, you know? We don't have to scream as loud as the world and be as brazen as they are. We don't have to be that totally crazy. We have the anointing of God. And I'm not saying don't get your praise on. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we don't have to compete with them. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. And if we can get a revelation of what the Spirit of God can do when we totally surrender to Him, and especially to the women warriors, that's who I really want to inspire today. I know we get tired. I know Sunday mornings get crazy. I know you can't find the socks that you had the night before. I know. But if we can put all of that behind us, all those little things that aren't going to matter in 10 years, and if we can focus our efforts in prayer this morning before Brother Welch comes to share the word, if we can unite our hearts and our minds, if every woman in this house would yield and surrender to God, Pensacola would turn right side up real quick. You know, you are connected to so many people, and you are women of influence, and you don't even know it. You walk in a restaurant, you walk in a store, they feel it. They don't even know what it is. But if we could capitalize on that anointing and on that power and let it be unleashed in our lives, whoa, wow, what could God do? So I just want, if you're beside a woman, join hands. Or if your wife is there or someone, would you lay hands? I want us to connect with one another. And men, I want you to release something onto each woman. God has used women mightily throughout all of history. And you don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be repentant. So will you just close your eyes right now, and will you let heaven hear you cry out to God? Dear Jesus, as women of Zion, we come with repentant hearts, asking you to purify our minds, cleanse each vessel, oh God, so that we can be filled with your anointing. Remove every distraction. Silence every distraction that would come in our minds during this service, God. You have called us for such a time as this, and I release hope and faith to be resurrected in every woman. And I come to silence the lies of the enemy with the sword of the Spirit. We will decapitate the head of the serpent, because greater is he that is in in us than he that is in the world. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And we have the equipment in our arsenal right now to win and be victorious in this service. We cover our families with a prayer covering this very moment. Those who are here, those who are not here, you are not limited to time and space. Right now, we send an angelic host to cover every child, every wayward child, every child who may live in a distant land. Cover them and let revival be birthed in their hearts, oh God. This day, let it be a turning point in the lives of the saints of the First Pentecostal Church of Pensacola. Let the history continue and let truth flourish in our hearts. Let deception and let lies be silenced. We say truth will triumph in our lives and in our hearts because you, oh God, you reign on the throne and we submit to you. We surrender to you wholeheartedly, God. I am in your hands. Use me, Lord. Let the cry of each mother, of each woman be, here am I. Send me. Speak through me. Use me and anoint me to reach my family, to reach my world through your love, your perfect love that casts out fear. I release renewed love to every mother, to every woman for her family. I bind criticism and I lose love to cover a multitude of sins. Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. We will not bow and cower to sin. We will not fear sin, but we will overcome sin through the blood, through the word of our testimonies. I release renewed faith. I silence the enemy who would say our children cannot live for you in a wicked world. I silence every lie with the word of truth. Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound, and truth will triumph. A godly, holy people will come forth in this generation, and forever we will give you the praise. Can everyone say amen and amen and amen?
Oh, let there be a shout of praise at this moment in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Stand with us now. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We're looking in our Bibles today. Second Kings chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we will start at verse number 1. Thank you again to my wife, very wonderful, godly, spiritual woman of faith, and I appreciate her ministry and her strength to our family so very much. And again, we salute Pastor and Sister Kinsey, and I personally think that there are no greater people in this entire world than Pastor and Sister Kinsey. These people, oh, that's it. I know you appreciate them so much, but they mean the world to us, and we just esteem them highly in the Lord. So very grateful, so very thankful, and we salute all of you. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 1, if you have that, say amen. The Bible says, "Now there cried a woman, a certain woman, of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take him, my two sons, to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And then he said, Go and borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, whom brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, Bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Father, again, we come to you with petitions, God, asking you, God, for strength of the Holy Ghost, the anointed power of God to minister to this wonderful group of people, to every mother, to every child, to every friend and guest. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and everyone say amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you for standing to honor the word of the Lord. Some time back, my father and myself went together, and the purchase of a home that we were intending to use as a rental home. And together we made this investment, and we decided to purchase this house. And this particular house was not in the immediate area that we live in. It was in a neighboring town, perhaps about an hour distance from our home. Not thinking too much about the space of distance, we went ahead with the purchase because it looked like a favorable investment. But together, we owned this property, and not knowing the market as well as our own hometown market, it was somewhat of a risk, you can understand. And at first, it seemed as secure as any other property, but most of the properties that we had in our immediate area, we could easily maintain and watch over and protect. But this particular property, being about an hour from home, you can understand that the logistics proved to be difficult, and so even the lawn maintenance had to be hired out, and any plumbing maintenance or air conditioned maintenance had to be hired out by local contractors. And so the expense was somewhat greater than we expected. And through the process of time, the house sat vacant for months at a time, waiting on the renter to come and to inquire and to put the house under contract. And so the home was oftentimes vacant. And I'll never forget the day that my realtor called and said, Mr. Welch, we have a problem, and I don't remember ever having this problem before. And I said, yes, sir, go ahead. I'm listening. What is the problem? And he said, well, someone unauthorized has moved into your home. I said, well, that's a unique problem. Who is it? He said, I don't know. Someone at the neighboring property has called and complained. There have been people that have moved into your property. The utilities are not on. The electricity is not on. And the water is not on. But people have moved into your property. Perhaps homeless people. And so the realtor was nice, and he went over and vacated the property again, let them know they had to leave. And problem seemed to be solved, but about a month later, he calls again and says, we have the same problem. Someone has moved into your property. And he says, this time they're not so willing to leave. They're stubborn. They're bold. And he said, I had to call the police department and ask them kindly to please move out again. And this time, the property needs to be cleaned. It needs a thorough cleaning because the people that had moved in there had just put rags and blankets on the floor. And there's remnants of drug dealers being in the house, and there's syringes and needles lying around. And so we paid to have the house thoroughly cleaned. And finally, some months later, again, the same problem. The locks have been changed. The house has been secure. But nevertheless, someone has broken into the house. And this time, it's not just two or three. The realtor tells me that 8 to 10 people are now living in that home. No furniture, no utilities, no water. In the heat of the summer. And he says, Mr. Welch, you would not believe the sight that I saw when I went to your property. He said, literally, I believe that there are drug dealers and prostitutes that are using this home as a headquarters in that community. He said, when I went over there, there were half-clothed people, even leading young children out of the home when the police came to arrest some of them. He said, I had never seen a sight so sad. And I thought to myself, this is a problem. This is a problem. And today I want to preach to you from the subject, the law of the empty vessel. The law of the empty vessel. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, the law of the empty vessel. And plainly stated this morning, I want to reveal to you exactly what the law of the empty vessel is. The law of the empty vessel simply states, any vessel left unattended or empty will eventually become occupied. Any vessel left unattended or empty will eventually become occupied. Now, it may not be occupied by what you had expected or hoped that it would be, but something will inevitably dwell in that vessel. And this is a spiritual truth that I will solidify through the scriptures this morning. We live in a very spiritual world. Whether you recognize it or not, you may not see it with your natural eyes, but we live in a very spiritual world. There are spirits lurking around every corner. They are perverse and they are traveling to and fro in this world. And we would do well to recognize that we live in a spiritual world. Though it's unseen, there is a spiritual dimension both of good and of bad. And we need to recognize that and be fully educated of the fact that we are spirit beings living in a spiritual world. Somebody say amen. There are two dangerous extremes to consider when you think about the spirit world or the enemy or demons or devils. The first extreme is to give too much credit or power to the devil or to demons. First of all, we should plainly state that we are not subject to the devil nor to bad spirits. We have the power and the strength of God to overcome every negative and evil spirit. We do not live in fear. We don't hunker down to those spirits. We acknowledge that they exist, but we do not give them undue credit. The devil is not the equal and opposite power of God. I'll say it again. The devil is not the equal opposite power of God. Don't you puff him up and don't you build him up into something that he is not. But equally, we should recognize that it's another danger to ignore and to avoid the fact that the devil and evil spirits exist. We err on either extreme, to give them too much credit or to fail to acknowledge that they exist and that they do have some powers in this world, especially when we allow them to invade our lives. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, lest Satan would get an advantage of us because we are not ignorant of his devices. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we do well this morning to recognize that there are many spirits lurking in this world. We know that there are spirits of infirmity that plague people's bodies. Many times, spirits go as far as to make people sick or to feel bad. The spirit of infirmity that's mentioned in Luke chapter 13 had tormented a woman for at least 18 years. And this type of spirit can make you feel terrible and make you feel weak and finally lead to sickness. And oftentimes the sicknesses that are brought on by a spirit of infirmity are undiagnosed. the spirit of infirmity would manifest itself in your life in such a manner that a doctor would have a hard time putting his finger on exactly what the problem is. Now, there are many sicknesses that are not brought on by spiritual means, and we're not making light of those, and they can be treated many times by medication and by doctors who know. But I'm speaking now about a spirit called infirmity that would invade your life, and many times it cannot be diagnosed. And furthermore, when you try to treat it with medication, it cannot be solved. We acknowledge, we know that there are spirits of infirmity. The Bible tells us there are spirits of divination. There are spirits that would encroach upon someone's life, even as in Acts chapter 16, the young lady who had an evil spirit that at first looked like a religious spirit. It looked like it was something complementing the kingdom of God, but Paul recognized it plainly for what it was, and he cast out that spirit, and he said, you may be a deceiver, and you may look religious, but inside you're very vicious and vile. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. And so we can cast off those spirits. There are seducing spirits in this world that exemplify themselves as Satan's main tactic of deception, where Satan and his demons appear as messengers of God only to distract and distort the scriptures. They often appear as religious. And as I pray about this community and this culture, this church is a lighthouse in this city, in this town, in this culture. But as I drive around the streets, as I pray in the Holy Ghost in my prayer closet, I'm brought fully aware that there are deceptive spirits, religious spirits even, that are lurking, that are trying to deceive even the very elect people of God. And so we acknowledge them, we recognize them, and we call them for what they are. They are seducing spirits. And there's no need to pamper those spirits. When you recognize that, call it for what it is. And say plainly, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are defeated. You are defeated. Together we recognize these spiritual forces in our world. I'm compelled again to mention that there are lying spirits in this world that flatter. There are false prophets, false prophecies. There are accusers and slanderers and gossips and false teachers in this world. We recognize those as lying spirits. There are spirits of jealousy that bring finally, in their ultimate case, murder and revenge, spite and hatred and contention. We recognize those spirits. They lurk in all the corners of the world, and if we're not careful, they will latch on to us, and they will become part of who we are. We recognize that we are spirit beings living in a spiritual world. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we see a wonderful portion of scripture right here in the Old Testament. And the Bible says that a certain widow had two sons, and now her husband is passed away. And she says, my two sons are going to be sold as bondmen if we don't come up with some money very quickly. And the prophet says to her, what do you have in your house, ma'am? And she says, we don't have hardly anything left. Probably we've sold all the furniture just to try to make ends meet. We've sold all of our earthly possessions. All we have in this house is a small pot of oil, and that's all we have to our name. And the prophet says, well, that's enough. Because he knew that there was a miracle on the horizon. And the prophet says, tell your boys to go out and to borrow all the vessels that they can from all of your neighbors and your friends, and bring those vessels in and hand the house and shut the door and begin to pour from that small pot of oil into those vessels. And when she did, she experienced the greatest miracle of her life, because the increase of the oil never stopped. The more vessels that they brought before her, the more that began to overflow. And they had vessels full of oil, plenty, plenteous. And they had multiple vessels all around the house. And she said, when they're full, I want you to set them aside.
because we want to identify the vessels that are full from the vessels that are empty. And I think that's an important point today. We need to recognize that in our midst, there are full vessels and there are empty vessels. Now, the Bible tells us over and over again in the New Testament that we are a representation of those vessels. The Bible says in Matthew 25 that they are vessels, that the people are the vessels. Romans 9 and 21, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 4, and finally in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, speaking about the revelation of the oneness of the Godhead, Jesus Christ being God Almighty. It said that we have the revelation. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so it's plain and clear that we represent the vessels that are mentioned in 2 Kings. Matter of fact, the Bible went on to say, honor your wife. And that's what we're doing today. The Bible said, honor your wife. Recognize her even as the weaker vessel. We know that that's only in a physical sense, that many women possess great spiritual strength, but the Bible recognizes, says, honor those as the weaker vessel, giving honor to them duly. And today we again honor all of these mothers. And it's plain, it's clear, symbolically, that the oil in 2 Kings represents the Holy Ghost. All through the Bible, the Holy Ghost is seen as the oil. And so today, my message is plain. There are people in this congregation who are listening to me that are full, some even overflowing with the presence of God in their life, and yet others are empty. There is no oil in their vessel. And as I prayed about this service today, God spoke to me about the emptiness that I would be ministering to. There are people that feel so empty today, and you feel alone, and you feel like you're without. But God has brought a word to you today for me to speak to you directly. There is a power of God that is trying to fill your life. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was poured out in the book of Acts for the very first time. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. Hallelujah. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. All through the book of Acts, we see people being filled with the Holy Ghost. Those empty vessels are absolutely always filled with the Holy Ghost when they come with sincere repentance in their heart. There are people that I'm ministering to today. You've come into this house empty and alone, but God has spoken to me that you don't have to leave the way that you came. As a matter of fact, most people will not leave the way they came, because there is a promise from heaven that any time an empty vessel is brought before the Savior with repentance and emptiness, it is always filled. It is always filled. Hallelujah. Just a little vessel is all it was. It didn't say what size or shape, but it said they went through the neighborhood and they borrowed every vessel they could. And just like this cup, this glass, our lives, our hearts are like an empty vessel, desiring to be filled by the presence of God. And they brought the vessel to their mother. They said, "Mother," now I like this. This is the heart of a real mother. The mother is desiring that every vessel get filled. Now, I like this because, hear me, your mother is proud of you for everything you've ever done. She's proud of you for accomplishing great things, for finishing high school, for graduating college, for getting a good job, and for having a great family, a wonderful home, and two beautiful automobiles. I mean, your mother's proud of that. I mean, she's glad you got the Escalade finally. Hallelujah. And she's glad about the initials on your car that say BMW. That's all right. But I like what this mother's desiring. She says, I want us to be filled. And I want to tell you, if you were really to have a deep discussion with Mother today, whether she's here or she's gone on to the Lord, her greatest desire would say that my boys were filled, that we had enough oil in our house, that there was no shortage of the Holy Ghost. And furthermore, we want to see that every one of our neighbors gets filled. We want to see that every one of our friends and co-workers. I like the heart of a real mother. She wants everybody to be full of the Holy Ghost. I don't think it's any accident that the mother was the one that was able to pour out until everybody was full. And there are mothers here that have been praying. They've been praying. They've been interceding for their family. And what do they want? Sure, they want success. They want prosperity. But more than all of that, mother wants to make sure that everybody is full of the Holy Ghost, because she knows that it's absolutely impossible to make it to heaven without being born of the water and born of the Spirit. Even young children know this simple fact, that if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to have the Spirit of God abiding and living in your life. Say, well, I'm all right, preacher. I don't have the Holy Ghost. It's just a gift. It's just a gift. I want to tell you, it's not just a gift. It is the gift that God has given to His people. Oxygen is a gift, but the moment that you deny it, you will cease to exist in a physical sense. Your natural man will die. And the same applies in a parallel in the Scripture. The moment you refuse the Spirit of God, you are not alive spiritually. Somebody say amen. Amen. God is trying to speak to someone. What you need the most is to be full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I like this vessel. You know why? Because it's so pretty. That reminds me of some of you today. You're so beautiful. You're dressed up wonderful. Your dresses, your hairdos, your men and your suits and your ties, and even the men's hairdos look nice today. Hallelujah. Something about Mother's Day. Everyone looks more beautiful. I don't know. But that looks like you, everything together. But you know what? She said, bring me that vessel. Let me see if it's qualified to be filled. She says, look over that vessel. Is it qualified to be filled? And she said, the only prerequisite to being filled is that it had to be an empty vessel. She said, the only prerequisite to being filled with the Holy Ghost is that it had to be an empty vessel. And as long as you bring it to Mother and it's an empty vessel, it doesn't matter what size or what shape or what age. It doesn't matter if it's a little heavy or if it's skinny or if it's tall. I want to tell you, if it's an empty vessel, it said it met the requirements to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you today, I'm preaching that whosoever will, let them come to the kingdom of God. Every race and every nationality, every educational status and every financial status, you belong to the kingdom of God. If you're empty, if you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're willing to wash your heart, come on, you can have the Holy Ghost. I've said it before and I need to say it again. I was confused when I came to the kingdom of God. I thought the Holy Ghost was only for those boisterous, outspoken type personalities. And here I was, just a meek and mild, timid young man. And it took me a little while to recognize that God wanted to do it for anybody that so desired it. And this young man at 15 years old finally got the revelation that you don't have to be a type A personality to have the Holy Ghost. You don't have to have certain credentials, but God Almighty wants to fill you this very day. But it is going to take repentance. And say, what is repentance? Repentance is a sincere and contrite heart saying, God, forgive me of everything I've ever done wrong. Even though I don't remember it all, God, I know I am a sinner. I have failed you many times over. I sincerely apologize. I'm sorrowful for my sins. I want you to forgive me. And in essence, that's what repentance is. And today, that's my goal, is to make sure that everyone, again, repents of all of their sins. Say, well, there's other messages. I know there is. But this is the message of the gospel. Noah began to preach about it long ago. The prophets of old spoke to the children of Israel about it. Repent. John the Baptist proclaimed it. We need repentance. Jesus Christ came on the scene preaching the same message, repentance. And Peter and Paul, and God forbid that I would drive all the way from Louisiana and fail to mention that the message is still true. We need repentance in our hearts. We need sincerity. We need a cleansing of our vessel so that we can be filled with the power of God. The other vessel I brought this morning is not so beautiful. And this is for some of you that don't have everything all together today. Say, well, I don't have a big bank account, preacher. Are they going to take time to pray for you? It's not about your bank account. It's only about if you're empty, if you're willing to empty yourself. Even though you don't feel like you have much value, you don't have a 401k and you don't have a big bank account, I want to tell you the presence of God is willing to fill your heart today. Say, I don't look so good. I've been through a lot. You may be beat up and battered, but I want to tell you, as long as you can empty yourself, you can be filled with the presence of God. Some time back on the street, I noticed a man with a tin cup. And I guess this is somewhat customary for someone begging on the street, but with their tin cup, they always want a little something in that cup to make some noise, you know? I guess that gets the attention of the passersby. A few coins, a few rocks, if they don't have coins. And in that sense, I guess it's okay, but this morning I'm preaching to somebody. You've got a vessel, but there's a few rocks that you're tumbling around in there. Say, well, it's just a small thing, just to get a little attention, you know? I want to tell you, if you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to absolutely be emptied of every single thing that's in your life. See, I've just got a few rocks. I just got a few coins. I just got a little few things I'm holding to, you know. I'd be Pentecostal if it didn't require sacrifice. But I want to tell you, the moment you receive the Holy Ghost is when you empty yourself of every other god, of every other priority. And you say, the greatest thing that I have to do today is to receive the Spirit of God in my life. Greater than having a wonderful lunch, I have to be filled with the Spirit first. Greater than financial security, I've got to have the Holy Ghost. For without the Holy Ghost, I'm bankrupt. No matter how much money I have, no matter how many college degrees I have, if I do not have the Spirit of God, I'm bankrupt. Oh, hallelujah. As a matter of fact, God told me today that there would be some that come in the doors who have already emptied themselves. They are ready to receive the Holy Ghost. They're ready. And we will give you due opportunity in just a moment. God is going to fill people with the Holy Ghost here in this altar today. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, that's what mother wants. That's what the church wants. That's what the pastor wants. Make sure you've got the Holy Ghost working in your life. But I've just got to tell you, the Holy Ghost will not come and abide as a secondary component of your life. God has all wisdom and all knowledge. He knows your heart. He's pure and he's holy. He will absolutely not be put in a lower class than sin and foolishness in your life. He will not play second fiddle in a symphony of sin. God requires heartfelt repentance. If you want the Holy Ghost, begin to cleanse your heart and say, oh God, I need you. Wash me, purge me, and cleanse me. I believe right now somebody could lift their hands and say, God, forgive me again of everything I've ever done wrong in my life. I've got news for somebody today. God is concerned about your financial well-being. I look at this text in 2 Kings and I see that God had given this woman, he literally gave her an oil well. You think about this for a moment. And brother, it just kept on pumping. I've got a few little properties, and I confess at times I've thought to myself, I sure would like to have an oil well planted right here. But you know what? In the spirit, God's done exactly that for me, brother. And God has done that for this church. Say, well, what's so great about this church? What's the advantage here? I want to tell you, we don't claim to have a market on God, but I will tell you this, that there is no church that could testify and confess that they have more of a spirit of God, because, brother, right here, there's an oil well pumping, and it's pumping out the oil of gladness and the oil of joy called the Holy Ghost. And there's enough Holy Ghost in this house to fill everyone in this house 10,000 times over. There's absolutely no reason that you should leave this house empty. I'm preaching, I'm ministering to your emptiness, and I'm calling it out, and I'm saying, be filled with the Spirit of God. This promise belongs to you. Why come all this way and not possess it? Why come all this way and not obtain it? You need the Holy Ghost, and it's so powerful and it's so rich. I saw in the spirit when I began to pray about this service, from right here in this area of the altar, I saw what looked to me like a tidal wave coming over my head. The abundance of God that would fill every vessel that's in the congregation. And I saw people with their vessel saying, God, fill it up, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. And I saw the abundance of God that was so great and so mighty. And I saw that the only way that your vessel would not be filled is if you absolutely refused it. An upside down vessel, a closed vessel, can never be filled, no matter how great the abundance the source is. There's so much power of God here. But if you're not open to it, you won't receive it. Matthew chapter 12 says it like this. 12:43, and I'll wait if someone is able to find the scripture. Matthew 12:43, it's so powerful. It needs some attention right in this moment. Matthew 12:43. The Bible says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. And then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it swept and empty and garnished. And then he goeth and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell. And the last state of a man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now, I've never seen a more perfect parallel than the house that I mentioned. The introduction of this sermon. How at first there were people and vagrants living there. And sure enough, when they see that the coast is clear to live in this place, they will go and they will corral all of their friends and their buddies and their evil cohorts. And they will say, come and dwell in this vessel. This is an empty house. The New Testament teaches us that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God does not dwell in buildings of brick and mortar, but he dwells in the hearts of men and women. And we are referred to as the temple of the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you, God desires a habitation, not just a visitation. God desires to live in your house. And I saw in the spirit that many people operate their temple, their house, if you will. Their body is the house, the temple of God, but they operate their dwelling as a visitation point for God. But I can tell you, God desires full custody. He's not just looking for weekend visits in your life. God desires to live there on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Now, I've already told you about the great power of repentance. And I'll go as far as to say this, that every religion, every denomination that I know of preaches and teaches that repentance is necessary and that it's good. As a young child, a boy, I was a part of a denominational church that believed in repentance, and they told people to repent, and they came to the house of God, and they repented, and they left feeling better about themselves. They slept better that night, but that church did not believe in the Holy Ghost. They did not teach that you need to go on and be filled with the Spirit. And so as I thought and I prayed about that so often, so many denominations and good, sincere people repent of their sins when they come to a church, only to leave just as empty as they came in the house. And I want to tell you, the fact remains that they are more susceptible. They are more vulnerable in that state because the Bible says right here in Matthew chapter 12 that when that spirit leaves you, the evil things leave you, and they see that you're not occupied by something else. They will wait just a little while until the coast is clear, and then they will come back with a vengeance with all of their cohorts, and they will dwell and make that place their abode. And the last state of a man is worse than the beginning. I'm preaching this morning, you need the Holy Ghost. You need it so bad, because if you don't have it, some other evil spirit will creep into your dwelling when you're not looking. Say, oh no, I keep my vessel clean all the time. Brother, even the greatest housekeeper in here, the greatest woman in here that would dust her furniture with a white glove, if they do absolutely nothing for 3 days, the piano will be covered with dust. Any vessel left unoccupied will become occupied by something less desirable. I'll never forget the day as a young boy, I ran into the kitchen, so thirsty from playing outside. There was not a glass on the first shelf where I could reach it. I guess there had been a family event. All the glasses were lying in the sink. And you know, a teenage boy, instead of washing a glass, you know what I'm going to do. I climb up on the counter and I reach into the top shelf. And I get a coffee mug from the top shelf. And in my haste, I run over to the kitchen sink and I fill it about halfway with water, not paying attention, and I take one large gulp. Only to recognize that that vessel that had been unoccupied had been filled with some dust, but most likely a dead fly. It's good for you. It's just protein. And that is the law of the empty vessel. If you leave with emptiness in your life, something will invade your territory. Even the greatest among us must admit something is creeping in. There are spiritual forces at work. There are evil forces trying to invade your life at this very hour. I'm asking you to make sure that God is your habitation. When temptation knocks on the door, I pray that it's Jesus Christ that answers the door. When temptation knocks on your door, I pray that it's the Holy Ghost that opens up and says, "How can I help you?" That's how you keep yourself. That's how you keep yourself. Any vessel left unattended will eventually be occupied by something. If your house is empty today, make sure you've got the Holy Ghost. It's in abundance here today. And mother said, "Bring me another vessel." And the boy said, "This is all the vessels we have." And I can tell you that this church will continue to grow and to prosper as long as we have another vessel to put the oil in. The well is going to keep pumping as long as we have more people to put this church needs more people to put the Holy Ghost in. We need more vessels that are willing to be filled with the Spirit. And I feel in the Holy Ghost that they're here today. They're now ready to receive it. This word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which the Lord desires, and you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost just like they were on the day of Pentecost. You need the Holy Ghost. Dark spirits are trying to invade your life. Principalities and powers, rulers of darkness. I want you to close your eyes with me and begin to pray. There are fallen angels at work in this world. There are demons that are trying to possess people's lives and homes. Satan, Lucifer, is the prince and the power of the air. The enemy is trying to invade your vessel by the things you see. Say, my vessel is closed. No, it enters in through your eyes and through your ears. Hear me, hear this preacher. Spirits of pride and lust and jealousy and greed, even the best, we need the Holy Ghost to make sure we're not invaded. There's an invasion trying to take place. I'm ministering to your emptiness today. Don't leave with your emptiness. If you're in this house, you should fear for your soul not to go out into this dark world with an empty vessel. You should not allow yourself to leave with an empty vessel. The Spirit is here. Whosoever will, let them come. Let them come. Stand with me all across this house.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.